So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
Okay, welcome to Feature Creep, : built-in microwave. I'm Ned, and this is my friend Sierra, which I didn't ask you if you'd like to go by your first name.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I don't really appreciate or have a heart for nicknames, so we're just going to go with
fair.
Sierra. That's
yes.
fine.
Yes. Yeah. That's great. Sierra and I have been friends for a while, and if you're the first time listening to this podcast, my usual co-host Meg is not present for this particular recording, but we're just going to do a 15-minute little gem for the people, discuss a few ideas, some projects that Sierra might want to work on with as a collaborator.
I do enjoy a good collaboration.
Yeah.
We're going to dip our toes in.
See what art comes out of it. Go from there. Otherwise, if this is your first time listening, please feel free to reach out to us. You can email the founder and CEO, Dana, D-A-N-A at fcbm.io, and she'll get right back to you, or she'll route your email to the appropriate person. that's the best way to get a hold of us. Sometimes we're on social media, but not really. I think we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen any action on it.
I would say, actually, it's funny to me. I imagine this would be a good, like you could say, first time caller or long time listener, first time caller. I don't know if you're familiar with that trope.
I am. As far as talk radio goes, yes.
Sure. Yeah. You've listened to, I think, every episode that we've published.
Maybe until the last couple of months, but yes.
Yeah.
When I discovered your podcast a year or two back, I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
I realized that you had a lot of back catalog that I could.
We do have a lot of back catalog. Yes.
I could exploit. And as a frequent binger, Maybe I'm not sitting at home listening to your podcast.
Right.
But I do listen to podcasts while I drive or when I do chores. So that way I don't have to think about things while I'm showering or doing the dishes or grocery shopping.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I will listen to podcasts or audiobooks, and I have listened to all of the Feature Creep backlogs.
Have you? Yeah.
It's true.
Is that too loud? I'm still kind of messing with it.
Oh yeah. It was like a pleasant pop.
Okay. My apologies. Yeah.
No, it's all right. All right.
Well, pleasant. Then you're welcome. okay. Well, let's so I got the front matter out. We've talked a little bit about we haven't talked really much about how we know each other, but that's probably a little more personal
needs a lot to go. Yeah.
We have mutual friends. We've been hanging out together. So you mentioned that it was, I hope this isn't too personal. You mentioned that it was your lifelong dream a lifelong dream sounds very
it's all right.
to record an audiobook.
It was my childhood job.
Perfect. Yes.
Which was, you know, like everybody's got one. Maybe that's being a firefighter or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. My goal in life was to just read books out loud. And
yeah,
that's actually a thing. I don't know. I guess I never really put those. It took me a long bit of life to figure out that that is still a valid thing, that you can do said things.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's totally a thing. Since you mentioned it to me, it also occurred to me that, you know, as we get older, our voices change and, mm-hmm. you know, we pick up different dialects and things. And so I think that's one thing in your life that you could, not dialects, accents. And mannerisms and affectations in terms of like
speaking styles. All right. I'm following where you're going.
And what I was getting at was that I don't think there's a point in your life, in anyone's life, you know, barring perhaps when you can no longer speak at all, that you couldn't potentially do some kind of voice acting, right? Like you couldn't potentially lend your voice to some kind of art project or some kind of recording and do.
Yeah, like that. It's very true. I remember going to the library every day after school as a kid, and they used to have cassette tapes of recorded books. And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. That's kind of like
you're
reading a book out loud. That's really great.
Yeah.
And it kind of faded away as I grew older, and now there's a huge resurgence.
Yeah.
I have lended my voice for voiceover recordings, not for anything personal. I was just working a media job and like a local church, and I had to put up all the words for the worship team. Uh-huh. And there are some musical accompaniments that they wanted to not have anything, but just like a verse or a quote. And somebody needed to say the quote, and I didn't want them to know it was me.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I just like sit and like record in different voices.
That sounds amazing.
And then no one in the church would be like, that's definitely her. Uh-huh. Yes. They're like, where do you get these people? I'm like, I just find them on the street. Because I mean, I pull them out of my pocket and I got a little pocket dude right here.
That's great. That's so fun.
But I don't have like a large repertoire that I've maybe like put down. Yes, exactly. I know how to do these accents and this character. So I think this is going to be a learning by just jumping in and doing things.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I'm just reminded that when I first started doing the podcast with Meg, I'd also had this idea to do this like audio short story.
Mm.
And so I wrote this short story and I have to dig it up. And it was called The Gift, I think. And it was about this woman who had, if I remember correctly, she had seen a murder, or maybe had like sort of been like sort of adjacent to like she maybe didn't observe it directly, but she was kind of in the area.
She was privy to murder.
She was privy to murder. And,
is she the murderer?
No. Well, so the story itself, I'll have to dig it up. I wrote out, it's like got a few different parts for different people. And it's, if I remember correctly, the idea was to kind of, it was supposed to kind of be played out over a couple of different short, like 5-minute episodes that were, essentially kind of that like idea of found audio, right? Like it's like, this is the interview, like the police detective is like interviewing different people. Yeah. And so you're hearing people's different versions of the story. If I remember correctly, this is a couple of years ago and I haven't, but I did record some audio for it. I had some friends come and do it. And so actually, and I still have the audio. So we maybe
I would love to listen to that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could help me get it to the finish line.
All right.
Cause a lot of my art projects. Yeah. No, I know. It's awesome. I was actually, hopefully you won't take this the wrong way. I was deeply disappointed when we'd originally planned to do this. And I was like, hey, when I saw you in person again, I was like, hey, do you still want to do that? And you were like, you still want to do that? And I was like, damn it.
Well, I was just,
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No,
you're amazing. All right. And my point is like, I can use the pushing. If you know what I mean? Like it helps me a lot.
I am good at being a pusher for other people's things,
but
I thought you were doing this for me. And I was like, no, like, you don't need to like go out of your way to do that for me. So
I got you.
Like,
yes.
Oh, no. He like canceled, like no big deal. Like he's like, just not interested at all.
I think you and I have this in common, which is like, I'm very good at facilitating other people to finish their projects well before any of my own shit gets done.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe we can like, fool ourselves into like pushing each other across the finish line.
Yes.
I'll
pretend that this is the most important thing and you need to do this.
Yes. Yes. Great. Exactly. Yeah. For me. I mean, it's for me.
Yeah.
For you, for me.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
I'm assisting you to get it done.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Not that I take personal joy from this at all.
Right. Exactly. Don't have any fun. Well, that was actually a top rule for the podcast is no fun.
Oh, great. I had no fun listening to it, so I fit right in.
Okay. Yeah. Disappointment and no fun. Fun haters, pretty much.
A lot of crying, mainly. Oh,
yeah. 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 Like, I mean, really, we're going for like emotional emptiness at the end of the day. That's kind of the.
Yeah. Big monotone deliveries.
Yeah. Let's try to tone it down. I think we're getting a little excited.
Sorry.
It's okay. We've been talking about doing an audiobook, recording an audiobook, and we've been looking through Project Gutenberg. So if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with Project Gutenberg, mm-hmm. it is a really cool website / project, which is basically a large collection of all of the public domain written works.
Mm-hmm. They go back and research each book before they actually put it on there, being like, this is the last time it was renewed. These were the people who held the original
copyright.
Copyright. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, as far as we know, it has not been extended or renewed in any capacity. So here you are. And it's great. It's so easy. I've never downloaded it, and it took me all of maybe 3 minutes after selecting the weirdest word I possibly could in a title to be like, I think this is a good one, and get it on my Kindle. And I was just scrolling through on my phone. So it is quite easily accessible for those of the world who are not technologically savvy.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the nice thing is most of them, as far as I can tell, you can read them right on the website. There's mm-hmm. like a web page you can pull up. If you have an e-reader, great. If you want to download it to your phone, it looks like there's options.
PDFs.
Yeah, PDFs maybe. There's like plain text, HTML, online, read online, EPUB, various different EPUB versions. There's a Kindle version. There's older Kindle versions. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So the book that you selected, should we just talk about that for a minute? And then,
I don't know okay. So I say selected, as in here it is, it's in front of us, but we are not nailed down to this.
Yeah. So Sierra came over, we kind of set this as the sort of play, fuck around and find out day.
Yeah.
So, which is why we're recording this podcast, because that's something I know we can do and get published and yay for us. But welcome. You're welcome. but I had suggested when she came over, and I was still like panic assembling the audio equipment. I'm still running on the 3 cups of coffee I had this morning. So I'm still kind of like full of the coffee nervousness.
And then I did the most horrible thing while he was looking for said audio equipment. And I was like, yeah, I'll make gin and tonics. I know how to do that. I'm an adult. I know what's up in a kitchen. And basically the only things we got in there were ice and gin. So like not bad, but out of the
bottled water. Don't forget the bottled water.
I was getting there. But sorry. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's all right. My joke just landed flat.
Flat bottled water.
Yeah. It was next to the gin and tonic cans, but I didn't read in the fridge. Who reads in the fridge? Nobody does.
I find it funny because I was like, you know what this makes me think of? I don't know if you like this movie, but in the movie, sci-fi movie, the Minority Report, mm-hmm. and the Tom Cruise character gets his eyes replaced, and he's given a rope to go to the fridge, and the doctor puts there's fresh milk and a fresh sandwich on the shelf mm-hmm. in the fridge, and he's like, there's a sandwich here for you, here's a rope, you'll find it. And of course he can't see, so he goes over to the fridge, and there is a fresh sandwich and milk there, but mm-hmm. all around it are these old decaying dead sandwiches and dead old milk and stuff, like none of it's cleaned up. So
which I never understood why they didn't just like clean out the fridge before they when they opened it to put the nice fresh stuff yes. in, like also who's eating milk,
right? Yeah, just bizarre.
You've had surgery, have some milk.
Right, okay, yeah. It's great, like one of those old school like milkman delivery bottles of milk.
Yes.
It kind of made me think of that because I did tell you, I was like, oh, and then the tonic water is down below mm-hmm. on this bottom shelf in the door.
And I did like, look great. Down below.
And absolutely, there was a nice fresh bottle of clean water right there.
Yeah, and
maybe a little flat.
Yeah, it is. It is flat. Ned does not live in Europe full time, so no. His fridge water is
typically flat water. Yeah. But you know, it's actually fine. And we put a little slice of lemon or lime in there, a little squeeze of lime, and it works fine.
Yeah. I think the lime really took it up to the next level. I'm sorry that it was.
It's fine.
It's a really hot day.
It's like. Funny.
Ice
like,
is all I want.
When you served that, and I was like, maybe you just don't like tonic water and this is what you like. Cause I wasn't like, oh God, like what is, it's not like you poured like milk in there or something. It's like,
okay.
Like it seemed very intentional to me. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything. Sierra offered to make drinks and I like all kinds of drinks, including this one. No judgment.
Yeah. I also tend to lead with more confidence than I actually do have.
Yeah.
Behind something. So I'm like, yeah, we got, there you go. I got a drink for you.
Yeah.
Voila. And not really know. I'm like, how hard could it be? I'm a frequent yeser. And some of that stems with like not having appropriate boundaries and I've thus developed them, but I'm still like I got this. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but like how hard could gin and tonic. Okay.
Right. I think it was great. I really appreciate everything about it. Also want to pull in a conversation I had with Meg about this. The other day we were texting and Meg's not really a big fan of alcohol. Like you and I drink fairly regularly, like together, socially. Like, I don't know. I mean, when we hang out sometimes.
And in closets.
And in closets, wherever. Yeah, wherever we find ourselves, oftentimes a little alcohol is involved. But Meg lives in Minneapolis, where I think there's a different alcohol culture than we usually have, which is like alcohol is not mandatory by any means for when we hang out. A lot of, as I understand it, she'll go out with her husband and as he's put it, he's like, you know, he doesn't really drink either. And they'll be like, oh, what do you want to drink? And he's like, I'm good. And they're like, oh, do you want a beer? He's like, no, I don't want a beer. Oh, well, you want some wine then? No, thanks. Ah, cocktails for you. Like, there's no, I'm not drinking alcohol. It's just, which alcohol do you want? And there's no understanding of like.
Maybe they just don't like each other. I mean.
No. My point
not
is.
Megan,
like,
her person.
No. But. I think just culturally, my experience in Minneapolis as well is it's like heavily, especially in the wintertime. Like that's what you're doing. It's alcohol is whatever you're doing. It's alcohol plus activity.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point was that Meg was going on this rant about cocktails and how it's at the end of the day, it's just sugar and alcohol. And fuck you if you think you're like some kind of mixologist, which of course I took a little exception to. I was like, there are cocktails and then there are cocktails. I enjoy the variety of flavors that are available there.
And there are some things that I'm like, I wish people never mixed this.
100%. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I still have nightmares.
But to that point, if you're listening, we are drinking a very small amount of gin in a very hefty dose of fresh, clean water and ice and a nice squeeze of lime. So technically, there's a small amount of fruit sugar in there, very small amount. It's a very tart lime. It's lovely.
It's in a open mouth ball glass, so there could have been jam in this glass at some point, but we did wash it. Low sugar, so because that's how you know we're from California. We have low sugar.
Obviously. to get back on track, we may or may not read this book that you selected. You came over
rabbit trailing with you.
I'm like anxiety, like I'm flop sweat constructing the little podcasting table that I set up in my living room.
It's so cute. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're like eat tacos off this.
Yeah. Oh, tacos. Well, maybe after.
Yeah.
Anyway, I suggested that maybe you would want to go look at the Project Gutenberg and maybe pick a book we could practice with.
Yeah.
And so this is that book that you selected. So we have no idea if this is the one that we'll actually record like the full length audio recording of.
It's true.
But we will tell you about it and you may not be able to hear us read it, but you will certainly be able to go find it on Project Gutenberg and see it for yourself. So
very true.
Yes. Do you want to tell us what the book is?
Of course, I would love to. Thank you. So the book is called The Lost Kafuzalem.
Love the name so much.
I'm stuck laughing, so I can't say anything else. The author is Pauline Ashwell. And originally, it was produced in the Analog Science Fact and Fiction in October of 1960. And I think the entrance quote, when you're perusing, it was catchy. And then what really sold it for me outside of the word Kafuzalem, was when I looked up the reviews on Goodreads, and like only 4 reviews were left, but they were very vastly different. And I really just appreciated how much those reviews were crazy. But, let me give you guys like the little snippet of The Lost Kafuzalem, and then you can
email
Dana and see if she be like, please read more of whatever that story is, because we need it.
Right.
Or be like, email her and say, please don't let them read that. Right. Yes. My ears, because yes. One of the beautiful things about a delusion is that no matter how mad someone gets at it, he can't do any harm. Therefore, a delusion can be a fine thing for prodding angry belligerents.
I love that. That's a really good. So that's the opening quote for this book, The Lost Kafuzalem.
Kafuzalem. Kafuzalem. It's like it's maybe a term you would see in Winnie the Pooh, you know?
Yeah. So it's spelled Kafuzalum.
It's like a hippopotamus asylum.
Yes, a hippopotamus asylum.
So obviously it's got to be good stuff produced by a woman writer in the 60s. And
yeah. It's really interesting. The Wikipedia article about Pauline Ashwell. So Pauline Ashwell was born Pauline Whitby in 1926, and she passed away in November of 2015. She was a British science fiction author who wrote under the pseudonym Pauline Ashwell, as we know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes Paul Ash.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this a little bit. I think that was common for a lot of women writers to have nom de plumes that were male, because that was what sold.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of one of the things that we were looking for as we were perusing what to read, is we wanted something written perhaps by a female who didn't get to write under her own name at all times.
Right.
So we know it's Pauline Ashwell, but if you were alive back then, you might recognize this as a book by Paul Ash.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. I find that, I mean, not surprising, as I'm sure most people know now, like kind of the history of sort of feminine issue or feminist issues. You know what I mean?
World history.
Right. Thank you. Yes. What's it called when it's history about women? Oh, wait, sorry.
Not the ding-dong doorbells.
Not the ding-dong doorbells, indeed. Yeah, gosh. There's actually quite a large article about her on Wikipedia. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I was just trying to see if there was anything I could like kind of call out as particularly noteworthy, but...
I do know that this particular short story or book was submitted for the Hugo Award, or it was a nominee for the Hugo Award in 1961.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Which, I don't know.
Published in the October 1960 issue of Analog Science and Fact. No, yeah. Science, Fact, and Fiction. The new name, so now called Astounding, Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and then nominated for Hugo Award for Best Short Story.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Oh, she lost to Poul Anderson, who is... So I've read some of Poul Anderson's work. It's fine. Also, not surprising for the 60s, a male writer to win, right? I mean, that's kind of...
Oh, yeah, 100%. Maybe she was a Paul back then. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I wonder how that works. Like, you know, I don't know if there's like strong evidence for this, but I wonder, you know, when your stories get nominated for an award like that, ultimately they probably find out that you're a woman, or they could know at some point. Like, I think you'd have to really work hard to hide yourself in the industry to be like, you know, I write as Paul Ash. I am Paul Ash. Like the people, like, at some point, probably your publishers know.
Like your personal publishers, or maybe your representative to the publishers, because you don't always.
That's true.
Like, yeah, there's so you tons could, of.
Yeah.
I don't know Pauline's story, so
I don't know either.
I'm just curious. Projecting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I shouldn't just assume that was why or what, you know. Also, the Hugo Award is not. I can't remember. It's the Hugo Award. I think it might be the Nebula Award. There's some science fiction award that recently has gotten a lot of flack because it's been very, I don't want to say pro-China, more like deference, like showed a lot of deference towards China, like in terms of like the nominees and like who gets like stories getting disqualified, and also like being very like not allowing for authors who are like wrote sort of anti-China stories. Anti-China is not the right word, like anti-Chinese government, right? Like the problem with China, of course, is that there's a huge amount of human rights violations going on. Unlike America, where everything's fine.
We are
definitely haven't golden. Fucked anything up. Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah.
But I think, I don't know if it was, and I can't speak to this right now, but I don't know if it was the Hugo Awards or the Nebula Awards, or it could be something else. But especially like the thing that's kind of making the rounds right now that's in science fiction is, the three body problem and the various stories that are associated with that. Which I don't follow that much, but there's like TV show and Netflix stuff and all that. And,
how interesting. Yeah. I have not been introduced to that yet.
It's okay. I don't really care for it.
I like living my little fairyland.
Yeah.
Try not to worry about
right
problems that I can't get my hands under control.
I'm with you.
As a control freak, I try to ignore everything, and then I don't feel the need to control it all. It's really great.
Mm-hmm. That's how I cope.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to do much more than that. We can just call that and say this was a nice little short episode. And
yeah.
Do you have, I don't have colors of the day. The research team is broken.
The website's down.
Yeah.
Doesn't produce a new color.
Object color.com is not working right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Do you want to talk about the difference between lavender and periwinkle, or the fact that it really wouldn't matter to me either way, because I'm colorblind. So I love listening to hear people talk about colors and how they're different. And I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, sure. I've never looked up one of the colors, but I do enjoy people talking about about colors, because then it gives me a different perspective than my own perspective, because I obviously can't see colors in the true normal fashion that people do. As a colorblind person,
do you mind me asking you about that? So I have cut some amount of colorblindness, like it's more classically like male associated colorblindness.
It's true, like, yeah. I did have a mom who carried that.
Oh, and really?
So that's the only way girls get it.
Right. Yes.
As if both sides carry.
If both sides carry. So this is here's lavender and periwinkle. I imagine these look different to you because of the value. Like, this is a darker color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I would expect them to be reversed.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Like, if I was just judging that, I'd be like, oh, look at that lavender thing. If it was like, the periwinkle looks more purple, I think.
Yeah. I agree with you. Also, this is one person's interpretation of what the word lavender and periwinkle means, right? Like, there's not a canonical. There's probably, so this is the whole problem with like color names versus like true values is that, you know, and this is where communicating color, this is where Meg and I have issues with Pantone. Because they have monetized the sort of standardization of particular color values with names. But there is advantage there, obviously, with communicating. Like if I say to you periwinkle and you're like, oh, periwinkle. And we don't have to see the same color to know that we'll get the same value when we reproduce it, which is supposedly what Pantone does. But anyway.
I mean, I'm just going to say... They don't look like they're Vanta Black, so we're good. That's blue enough for me.
I like color names because I like periwinkle in particular, the word, because it's not common, but it's common enough that like some people already have a pretty strong idea of like when you say periwinkle what that means.
Yeah.
And other people like and it's in that realm where like if you're kind of feeling like sort of socially timid, but like you don't want to put yourself out there to be exposed as like you don't want to expose your ignorance. And so you might go along with being like, sure, I have an idea of what periwinkle is. And like and for sure I've done this many times in my life with different colors or with periwinkle, where to my mind it was like somehow it sounds like tweed to me, so I imagine sort of like it would go with like a tweed and periwinkle jacket in my mind, right? Like I'm reading, because like most words like that I encounter when I'm reading books with no pictures.
Yeah.
So somewhere along the lines in my formative years, I had determined that periwinkle was a more green, brown, earthy tone.
Ooh, I like that. I mean, I probably would like the color periwinkle more if it was a green, brown, earthy tone.
Right.
Not that it is at all. but I do like that you're like, periwinkle went to school in Oxford.
Yes, like, yes, exactly.
It went to an underground library, studied itself for a while, rediscovered itself and came back out. And we're like, that's periwinkle.
Exactly. That is exactly periwinkle. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that's kind of my take on it's one of the reasons I both adore all the different color names and the like the absurd sort of differences between, even if I can't see them, the fact that someone's like, ah, that's more of a fuchsia than like a, like, I don't know, whatever fuchsia, purple or pink or bright pink or whatever.
Yeah. I need to stay quiet on those colors in particular.
Are those particularly not strong for you or?
The line is very thick for those
for me. Yes.
Gotcha. And there are people where those lines are like, this is obviously, and I feel very passionate about loving one and hating the other. And I'm like, it's the same thing.
Right, yes.
So I get really confused. I won't go into detail.
That's fair. That's fair. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think we could just call it and just say thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time. And maybe you'll hear at some point. I imagine, well, that's one thing we could talk about a little bit.
Ooh.
The future of, let's just speculate. So let's say we do record the audiobook. Do you, how would you like to distribute it?
I'm sorry.
That's fair.
How do I want to distribute it? I am very great at just like low key playing down like, hey, you want to like a thing with a friend, but like, I don't know if we would like to put it out there. I have zero idea on how that would look like, what that would look like. I feel like you have broken into many different forums and like how to get your stuff out there in like weird ways, even if they're one-offs, just because you enjoy that experience.
Yes,
and I get overwhelmed thinking about
what
all goes into that.
That's fine. You also, like, this is something I can excel at if you're comfortable. I mean, we'll talk about it more as we get it into, get the recording and kind of finalize it and master it and get all the way. But potentially we could post it on the podcast. I don't know how much, like, we'll find out how much audio it actually is. So it could be, we could just post it alongside with our other audio or our other podcast episodes.
Yeah. I've seen podcasts that have like short story, like they're like, this is a one cohesive story and it's multiple different episodes.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and that's separate than the rest of all their podcast things.
I mean, if nothing else, we can just link it on the FCBM website to start with. And then that way we can talk about it on the podcast. We can talk about the experience and then we could link to whatever we recorded. I don't know. There's lots of options. I was just curious if you'd had some particular.
No, I maybe have been very excited about this and like have shared with others and I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this thing. I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And so people have expressed that they would 100% listen. And I'm like, I don't know about that. but like, yes, by all means listen, but I don't know if I'm like ready to
go beyond that,
to go beyond,
that's fine.
You know, people I know or people like, the random listeners such as myself to this podcast that I really don't know. I'm really fine with people I don't know, but not the masses that I don't know, if that makes sense.
Yes, I understand. well, we'll start with recording and we'll see how it goes. And you know, maybe we won't like this story. Maybe we will. We haven't read it. That's the other thing. Neither 100%. Of us actually read it. So we may get halfway through and we're like, ooh, we can't say that.
Yes.
We can't say that word anymore.
I think I need to, now that it's on my Kindle, I'm pretty quick at reading if I like the book. So I'll try to
get in there and we'll make some
dig in. Yeah. From what I've read, it starts off really great. And then it's horrible. Or people didn't like XYZ and felt like the end was totally out of the blue, or, you know, like, okay, interesting that multiple people out of the four or five reviewers are saying this thing.
Well, that'll be interesting too. I mean, maybe, maybe all our speculation about, you know, oh, well, she was a woman, so she couldn't possibly win the Hugo Awards. Maybe it is just a trash story and it's not okay.
Oh, the reviews I was reading were on Goodreads. And so they're all from like, you know, 2020 and on.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have the cultural context of the 60s.
I mean, it might be some guy from the 60s finally getting on Goodreads and being like, listen,
I'm still upset about this.
yes.
That's great.
I mean, hey, scream at this moon when you can, right?
Right. So I had this, should we do personal story real quick at the end?
Yes.
So this will be the end segment.
All of your personal stories.
I have a CPAP machine that I use to sleep with, and I hate it, but I use it every night because it is much better than the alternative.
Of not breathing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Of having like oxygen starvation and not getting real sleep like you should. So
I've never heard it explain that way, and it gives me ideas, but like continue. Yeah.
So one of the problems I have with it, there are many things that are nice about it. Like I've read about the past, like the early versions, and they were like much louder, and it's really quiet. It's relatively comfortable considering you have to have this thing strapped to your face all night, blowing air up your nose or into your mouth, depending on how you have the setup. But
do you like lube your nostrils? I mean, like with Vaseline?
No, understood. Yeah. No, I don't have to. I find it comfortable. It has these, it's called like these nose pillows, and they're these, like, how do I describe it? They're very soft, that very soft silicone rubber.
Okay.
And they just sit on my nose. And then when the, like they don't really go into it. Like just barely, like they kind of just sit on the outside, and there's like a strap that kind of goes up around the back of my head.
Okay.
And then these like pillows kind of plug your nose, like the front of it. And then when you turn the air on and it pressurizes, they kind of inflate a little bit. And so they seal even better.
Okay.
And then when you're breathing, it's just like a higher pressure zone that you're breathing the air from through your nose. And that works really well for me.
Do you move while you sleep?
I do, and it mostly keeps strapped on there. Every once in a while, I thrash about, and it comes off or whatever. Yeah. But and the thing is, when it's sealed, you mm-hmm. can barely hear it at all. As soon as the seal's broken, you hear this. So it often, if I pull it off, I wake up because I'm like, something's blowing me in the face. What the fuck's going on?
That's your open window.
Yeah. So the machine itself, for what it is pretty great. It works really well. I'm really glad to, you know, be at a point in my life where something like that is available when I need it. Mm-hmm. The company that sold it to me is just a fucking scam, basically. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, it's all legal, I guess, but like, you know, it's just, so there's so many issues I have with it. So one of the issues I have with it is that it has a cellular connection, mm-hmm. its own, and it just sends my medical data every moment. It's just spying on it, and it's sending it off to the company that manufactured it. It's sending it off to the dealership. It's like the used car dealership sales, slimy bullshit people that sold it to me. Like this medical data is just like every night just getting sent off. And you can't, and now you can turn that off, but if you turn that off, you can't use the app, and the app tells me how effective it is every night. And that's pretty useful, right?
Yeah.
If I turn that off, then I can look on the little window on it and see in the morning basically how I did, but I don't get a lot of the statistics that you get from the app. I don't get the full data.
Okay.
So, of course, like...
That's so weird that it's taking the data that it builds locally...
Yeah.
...and can't make cohesive things from that without sending them to a non-local area.
Because it's all a fucking racket, right? Like, and I couldn't turn that off to begin with because then my insurance wouldn't pay for it. Now that it's fully paid for, I can turn it off. But prior to that, I wasn't allowed to turn it off if I wanted my insurance to pay for it. And come to find out,
they wanted that data?
Well, the insurance company wants that as proof that I'm using it. Otherwise, they don't want to use it. That's what they say.
Okay.
Yeah. So the insurance company doesn't have... Well, that's the other... Anyway, it's like... It's just a whole fucking shit show of American, you know, or U.S. medical system nonsense. And the biggest issue I have with the company, though, is that they would call me every month to sell me supplies. And the rep would call on the phone and they'd be like, oh, like it's time to, you know, renew your supplies. Like these are the things you need. Will you accept? And I'm like, yeah, of course, send them to me. And turns out that shit's not actually like my copay. So it's sort of included. Like my insurance like pays for some of that, but I pay for some of it. So they've been billing me this whole time, but they didn't tell me. And for whatever fucked up reason, their billing system was not actually sending me copies of the bill. So I'm getting calls from these people. Meanwhile, I'm like 3 or 4 months go by and suddenly like I'm getting these collection notices from like a collection agency. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
What?
So I call the company and they're like, oh yeah, like you owe us all this money. I'm like, asshole, you called me 3 days ago to sell me another $200 worth of shit. And you didn't mention that I'm like in the rears at all. Like for months you've been calling me, selling me shit. And you didn't even mention that you were sending me into collections.
Well, that's just part of a different department.
100%. That's what they said.
Yes.
And the billing department won't call you.
No.
They're just like, no, we'll just send you to collections and not even bother to even like this person that we call all the time.
Billing doesn't go on the phone.
Yeah. Anyway, So they sold me, so I wanted to travel, I travel a lot, mm-hmm. and I'm privileged enough that I can like afford to buy a second machine that's like a specialized travel machine.
Yeah.
And so I bought that out of pocket and it was much less, and this is the other thing that fucking pisses me off. Like the machine that I have in my bedroom is like retail price. Like I looked online later and I was like, oh, actually there's lots of these outlets where it's like you call and they're like, we'll get a doctor, hold on. And then the doctor's like, what's your problem? And you're like, I need this. And they're like, great. And you pay, you know, $50 to the doctor and then, you know, $1,200 for the machine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, $1,300 total for the machine. I paid almost $2,000 in copays for the machine, and that's not even what they charge. The same fucking machine, and that's not even how much they charge the insurance company. And meanwhile, I bought outright this travel CPAP that is much smaller. It doesn't have some of the nicer things. Anyway, works basically the same. I bought that. So when I travel, like, and I go stay with my partner a couple weekends a month. Mm-hmm. So a couple weekends a month, my usage data doesn't show up on this machine. It shows up on the other machine.
Okay.
They can't figure that shit out. And so every time I use I use that machine every night, but they call me and they're like, you're not using your machine. And they call me and harass me. And they're like,
it's the same company. Same company, but a travel machine. And it's on the same app. Do you have two different profiles?
Two different apps. But the data all goes to the same place. They control the machines. I don't really even own them. Like, they set the pressure levels. I can't set the pressure levels. Like, cell everything. Phones. Yeah, it's like cell phones. It's nuts.
I don't like this.
Like, the analogy would be like, it's cell phones where I have two cell phones and they're like, well, we noticed you didn't use your one cell phone for a week. And I'm like, yeah, because I was in Europe using my European cell phone on the same fucking account. Anyway, I really kind of lost my shit with them, and they were like harassing me one time. Like, they were sending me these text messages and they're like,
what?
I was like, no, thanks. And they're like, well, if you want to opt out, like you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff. And I was like, just leave me alone. Finally, it like boiled down to like this guy, like sending me this email. And he's like, well, if you're not going to swear, he was like, what did he say? I was like, started swearing in the emails. I was like, this fucking bullshit. I wasn't like rude to them, but yeah. I was just dropping the F-bombs like every other word. Cause I was like, this is my private email. I'm going to say whatever the fuck I feel like.
Oh, 100%.
And he told me that he was like, if you can't, or what did he say? He said, if you can't be civilized about this, then we're not going to do business with you. And I was like, fucking, that's all I want is for you fuckers to leave me the fuck alone.
No means no.
No means no, indeed.
Like, there are so many times where I wish that I could just bark socially at people.
Right.
Like, if dogs are feeling like, hey, this vibe is off. Like,
yes, they just start barking. You could
be petting somebody and they're like, yeah, this is fine. We're fine. We're fine. They're like, ah. And they just lose their shit. And, you know, people back off.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So why when I try to be civil, or you try to be civil, and like, these are things that I don't desire. Right. This is not a thing that I need. No, thank you. Right. There is a no.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're not going to take it as a no until it escalates, which is crazy. I mean, I remember traveling in Europe and you're trying to just like walk to see the Eiffel Tower and it's hella crowded because yes. There's so many people, right? And then all there's a whole bunch of people always trying to sell you things too, right? Mm-hmm. And they would never listen when we would say no, we don't want it, right? They're like, oh, young, like two or three young girls, right? They smile. They're obviously not from here.
Right.
So we're just going to continue following them and trying to get them to buy this stuff. The only time people stopped is when I would cuss them out.
Right. Yeah.
not in my language, but in like other languages, or like the one time that I was like, I'm gonna pretend to be German. and I'm just gonna look at them like my friend had a German shepherd and trained him only in German. And so I lived with that dog for a couple of months and I
just speak German to the dog and
only then know enough German for like dog commands.
Right.
Which is horrible. And I felt so horrible like dog commanding this guy. But as soon as I looked at him, he was like, started approaching me like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I just looked at him and I just said, nine. And I like, we all continued walking and he like didn't follow us. And I was like, okay, like,
that'll work.
Just great. Perfect. Yeah. I got a little pocket no, you know. you can't say no, thank you to business people, to people on the streets. Like, no thank you is not no, apparently. Yeah. Yay, society. I'm sorry that you were belligerent.
It's okay. It's, it was just some, I can't remember what you said now, but something made me think of that. So that was the,
All right. I maybe want your, never mind. I don't want it.
Oh.
I was going to be like, ooh, send me like the websites that you get things instead of having to buy them from a third party supplier. And I'm like, oh, I don't. That sounds like a horrible headache too. So never mind.
Well, I have, I mean, it's different for everything, right?
Yeah.
So like there's CPAP websites.
Yeah.
And then there's like Canadian drug websites. And then there's like, you know.
Yeah. I was looking for a nebulizer.
Oh, uh-huh.
I mean, which
that might be a
thing. It like very much like sounds very CPAP-y as you get into. That's why I'm like, huh, how does it connect to your nose?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to sleep with a nebulizer when you're doing a treatment. Like it's like 20 minutes, depending on how.
Sure. You just like sit in a
chair. How much saline and, you're doing. Right. And they have like the mask covers and they have like little ones that you just like sit there and breathe and hold up the entire time. But I used to have a travel one that like, it was just one, it was like a like water bottle size and it had the mask built in and it was great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, now I am nebulizerless. I mean, I could probably run over to my parents' house and find one from the early 90s if I want to clean all that up. But, it probably still works. It's like a Hoover vacuum. Just works forever. Yeah, it
just works forever.
But I'm like, no.
And as big as a Hoover vacuum.
It's, exactly. Yeah. It just like sits in the corner and like you start it like a lawnmower. Yes. But
what is Sierra doing in that room? But then like the contrast,
very pleasurable
like,
thing called breathing.
Right. And then like the contrast is like you come in and you're like, it's quiet. It's like peaceful. There's like candles. You're sitting in the chair trying to read some book, like got a blanket over you.
Yeah.
This like lawnmower in the corner going.
Like little puffs of like gas coming out. Cause like it plugs into the wall, but like, are we sure it doesn't run on generator fluid?
Right.
Gasoline.
Right.
Yeah.
Gasoline. Yeah, exactly.
Same.
Generator fluid, diesel, gas. Yeah,
yeah.
I love it.
those are my favorite sounds when I go camping. Generator fluid.
Generator fluid, indeed.
I'm like, smells like generator fluid, butterflies.
All right. Well,
cool.
If you listen to this and you were like, actually, I know where to buy a good nebulizer, you can absolutely write in to Dana, D-A-N-A at fcbm.io. And you know what? We're going to set up a special email address. You can send into nebulizer at fcbm.io and we will get that right away. And then we'll get that over to Sierra and then her life will be fixed forever.
Yeah. And then I'll be able to breathe. I'll do, you know, and maybe I'll bring it over and we'll just record how it sounds.
Yes, we'll just do a recording. Yes. We'll compare it to the Hoover version.
Yes. Now I want to.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that's very sweet of you. Thank you.
Okay.
And for all your recommendations, thank you as well.
Indeed.
If there are.
Yeah, we'll find out. We get people write in from time to time. You never know. Okay. Thank you, everyone.